IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme. The Voice of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes.
And you're very welcome back to the programme. Good morning. If you are just joining us at 10, you missed an interesting first hour. But anyway, we've got more interesting hours ahead of us very shortly. We're going to be joined by Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh, where we are going to be getting the latest appeals and information from Angada Shia Kana. But some of your comments just before we head towards the ad break. Can you ask Nicholas whatever happened to the traffic lights that were to be installed at the junction of McGill Avenue, MacArthur Road and Clonmurra when planning approval was given to the new primary care centre in Buncrana? We can chase that up. My blood's boiling to hear Nicholas Crossan say there's not enough work for the people in our area. Yes, very true. But when Fruit of the Loom and Clubman factories closed here in Buncrana, our councillors did not do enough to encourage new industry. Thank you for airing my view. How can you solve the housing crisis by adding unlimited immigration numbers to the housing list, mass immigration contributing to making the problem worse? Who is sending out letters regarding the review for a medical card? How do they manage to select who's allowed a medical card? Why is cancer patients being reviewed if they qualify for a medical card when they need the medical card the most? How is this allowed to happen? Hi, Greg. You wouldn't mind criticism if you were on Joe Duffy's salary. Is this a hint that your name is in the hat to jump into his chair when he retires next year? My name's in the hat for everything within reason. Nicholas will follow up on everything that you ask him to. I asked for two council members to get me a map. Nicholas was the only one who could get it for me. The development plan is very important to a lot of people because of the land tax. Or is that the land tax? If one got a bill for €20,000 for land tax, it would be very important. Again, I'm not sure if that's lamb or land. We had a voice note in from this listener on the back of that interview. Here's what they have to say.
Good morning. I've just been listening to Councillor Crossan's interview. I'm just wondering, could he possibly point us in the direction of where the defective concrete crisis is in the county development plan? I've been through it and I can't find it. I've been through it several times, as have others, and there's no mention of the defective concrete crisis in the county. There is one reference to mica. It's a single sentence, and it's in relation to a childcare facility if they happen to be affected by mica. So it'd be good to actually read what exactly the council have in their development plan in relation to the defective concrete crisis, because as we know, there's tens of thousands of people affected by this. So I think it would make interest in reading, but sadly, there's nothing there for us to read as far as I see. So I think Councillor Crossan has got that wrong, I'm afraid.
Okay, and you can send your voice notes as well to express your opinion, just like our listener there, to 086 60 25,000 on WhatsApp. And you're commenting also across our social medias. Joe Barrett, has Nicholas read the plan? No mention of defective concrete properties, only mention of mica in relation to childcare facilities affected by mica. No other mention, a single sentence. Thank you for that. Anthony, there should be speed ramps at every school. Charlie says cameras and heavy fines would make them stop. Stop. That's on the road safety issues outside our schools. And on it goes. Thank you for all of your comments. 086 60 25,000. Darren says, believe it or not, Greg, most people in Ireland couldn't be bothered about Charles, yet we have to listen to it. He isn't our king, remember? It was his family that occupied and damaged Ireland. Well, I've referred to him as Britain's king, and every time I've mentioned that, for because that's the where he's the king. So I'm not sure, Darren, if that's directed at me or not, but you can listen back and you'll see. Okay, listen, thank you for all of your comments and calls. We really do appreciate it. Keep them coming into us. Community Garda information just around the corner.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91 26025.
And you're very welcome back to the programme. It is time for Community Garda information on this Tuesday, the 6th of February. We have two guests in studio with us today. We'll chat to, but we'll say good morning to now, Garda Patrick McGlynn. Good morning to you, Patrick. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Greg.
It's
good morning
to have you with us. We'll have more from you a little later on as we discuss the launch of the Donegal Youth Awards. And we have with us as well Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Eunan. Greg. How are you?
Good. We'll get straight into it then. So you're seeking the public's assistance in relation to a burglary in Ballyshannon.
Yes, Greg, this is a burglary which occurred on the Asroe Road in Ballyshannon. That's on the main Ballyshannon-Mundurn Road. It occurred last Thursday night, Friday morning, the 2nd of February, at approximately 4:15 a.m. So the front door of the premises was smashed and entry was gained, and a substantial quantity of cigarettes were stolen from within. So we're appealing to anybody who may have travelled in the area around the time and who has dash cam to make it available to the Gardaí in Ballyshannon, or again, anybody who can provide any assistance in relation to the matter, to contact the Gardaí in Ballyshannon, 07198 585 30. That's 07198 585 30. Or again, the confidential line, 1-800-666-111.
Now, a burglary being investigated in Raphoe.
This is a burglary, Greg, which occurred in an immense area of Raphoe last Friday morning, the 2nd of February, between 8 a.m. and 8:30 a.m. A business premises was entered after an office window was removed from the premises, and this triggered the alarm in the premises, and the alarm was then smashed and doors within the premises were forced open. Fortunately, nothing was stolen, but again, substantial damage was caused. So we're appealing to anybody who may have observed any suspicious activity in the area on Friday morning, the 2nd of February, between 8 a.m. and 8:30 a.m. to contact the Gardaí Letterkenny, 07491 67100, or again, anybody in the area, Greg, who has dash cam. We're asking them to make it available to us at Letterkenny.
Okie doke. And now on to theft from a car in Letterkenny.
Yes, this is a theft of a mobile phone from a car last Saturday, the 3rd of February. So it's a narrow time frame between 5:30 p.m. and 5:45 p.m. in the Rowan Park area of Lismonahan, Greg. A car was parked in the area and items were being unloaded from the car to a private house in the area. An Apple iPad was stolen from the car. The iPad in question is unique in that it is set up as a communication tool for a person who has additional needs. So obviously the owners are very anxious to have the item returned, and as we are. So we're appealing to residents area or anybody who may have observed suspicious activity in the area between those times, 5:30 p.m. and 5:45 p.m. to make contact with the Gardaí again in Letterkenny. And again, anybody who travelled in the area at the time who has dash cam to make it available to us. So, and again, should you be approached to reset an Apple iPad or to buy it, to contact the Gardaí at Letterkenny.
And this might be the most pointless appeal, but perhaps maybe the person who took this has a conscience.
Yes.
If they hear that it is been set up for a person with additional needs, maybe they could leave it somewhere and notify the Gardaí.
Exactly, Greg, exactly. Yes.
All right, okay. As I say, that probably will fall on deaf ears, but you have to try, don't you? A theft in Milford next.
Yes, this Gardaí in Milford is seeking assistance of the public in relation to the theft, which was only recently reported to us. It occurred a number of weeks ago between the 3rd and the 10th of January at Auchinursen Water Treatment Plant in Milford. A diesel Bowser was stolen from a shed at the location between the above dates. A picture of a similar type item will be posted to our Facebook page after the show, and if anybody comes across the item for sale or otherwise, we're asking them to contact the Gardaí at Milford, 07491 53060, or again the confidential line, 1-800-666-111.
Now, to Letterkenny again, criminal damage being investigated.
Yes, this is damage to a car which occurred over the weekend, Greg, at the McNeely Villas area of the Old Town between Friday evening the 2nd of February and sometime in the evening of Sunday the 4th of February, so sometime over the weekend. A car was parked at the area and somebody caused substantial damage to the car all along the driver's side with a sharp object. So significant damage caused to the car there. So if anybody's relevant information to the incident, we ask them to contact us at Letterkenny, 07491 67100, or again, the confidential line, 1-800-666-111.
Now, an appeal for witnesses in the wake of some dangerous driving.
Some dangerous driving, yeah. Yes, Greg, in the Drumbarnet area of Manor Cunningham, in the early hours of Saturday morning, the 3rd of February. So that's sometime on Friday night, Saturday morning, at 1:40 a.m. So we're appealing for any road users who travel along the N13 or in the general area of Drumbarnet in the early hours of the morning and who has dashcam to make it available to Gardaí. We are particularly eager to speak to anybody who may have observed a black Lexus IS200 with a yellow registration plate to the rear to contact the Gardaí Letterkenny. So that's a black Lexus IS200 with a yellow number plate. Again, anybody who has information to contact the Gardaí at Letterkenny 07491 67100.
Now, for operational reasons, often we can't get updates, but you do deliver them when you can, and it just I suppose it demonstrates that, you know, appeals work and work is ongoing to solve a lot of these crimes. So just a bit of an update in relation to an appeal from last week.
Yes, an appeal was made last week in relation to a shoplifting incident which occurred at a shop in the Circular Road area of Glencairn on January the 28th. The theft received significant social media attention, and we made the appeal in the matter, and we got some assistance from the public and through trawling CCTV, and two males were arrested and have been charged to appear to court.
Two females,
yep. Greg. And again, we'd like to thank everybody who assisted us anyway with the investigation. And just again, for people's information, we have a male in custody at the minute in his 30s for a number of thefts in the Letterkenny area in the last number of weeks. He has been charged and will be brought to court today. And again, in relation to solving these crimes, we received some assistance, obviously, from the shop owners and members of the public. So we're asking people again to be vigilant at all times, report suspicious activity in relation to shop overs, the normal crime prevention advice, and again, report any suspicious activity.
Okie doke, right. The date is looming, the closing date for applications as part of the Garda recruitment campaign.
Yes, the closing date is this Thursday, 3 p.m. the 8th of February. You can apply to be a member of Garda Síochána at www.publicjobs.ie, www.publicjobs.ie. We had an information day last Thursday and it was well attended by a number of people. So if anybody has any questions in relation to your application or training process, or would like to speak a member of Garda or a trainee Garda before making a decision, they're welcome to call to any Garda station at any stage and we'll be happy to help. And again, applications are welcome from those between the ages of 18 and 50 years of age. So thinking about you, but then it's all the age. And
no, I am still, don't worry about it.
You would
I'm still could be your colleague. Oh, how dare you?
You'd be more than welcome.
But it would. We're probably at the skin of our teeth, as the old saying goes. But I could still get in. Well, I could still apply.
You could still apply.
Yeah, all right. We could probably play some sort of a game at who could and couldn't apply from Highland Radio. Do you know what I mean? Guess the age.
Well,
but anyway.
I know a few who couldn't, yeah.
That could get us the run.
Jimmy Stafford?
Huh?
Jimmy Stafford?
No, not a chance.
Not a chance.
No? What do you think?
He'd make a good detective.
He certainly would. Hunting down the talent. All right. He's got a nose for talent out there, no doubt about it. Okay. Right. Now, we're going to talk about the launch of the Donegal Youth Awards for 2024. And with that in mind, we have in studio with us Garda Patrick McGlynn. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Greg. Patrick McGlynn, the Garda Juvenile Liaison Officer based in Letterkenny here.
Super stuff. I didn't have your title, though. You told me, but it slipped my mind, so I thought I'd just slide past it. But anyway, here we are. Right, OK. I love these awards. And I think even just the process in terms of the nomination, just nominating someone recognises them. Exactly. Now, obviously, then you can progress through that and we've had some wonderful winners that have gone on to have success nationally as well. But I think you'll walk us through it now. But even the nomination process in and of itself recognises people.
Exactly, Greg. Well, this morning, as I said, we're here to thank you for having us to launch the Garda Síochána and Donegal are pleased to launch the 2024 Garda Youth Awards in association with Donegal's Joint Policing Committee. And these are annual awards here now in Donegal. The awards started initially, Greg, in 1995. By my colleague, JLO, Juvenile Liaison Officer James O'Mahony in West Cork. And that was just a local event of recognising the good work of young people in the area. And that continued in the southern region for a number of years. And in 2019, our commissioner decided that it was an excellent piece of work that was going on and launched the Garda National Youth Awards in 2019. And Donegal has competed in those awards since 2019 for the last, so we're into our fifth year. And we've had some excellent results and achievements and lots of great young people in the county nominated over those years. Mm. And we've punched above our weight. We've had winners, our winners in Donegal go forward to the national category, and we've had winners in the national awards every year since 2019.
Mm-hmm. And the majority, the overwhelming majority of young people are excellent young people. The majority of young people don't drink. They must, and don't get involved in any form of criminality or what have you. And I think this is a good opportunity to actually recognise that as well, to talk, because, you know, obviously, if you try and highlight an issue, people might think you're talking about, you know, the whole section of one part of society or other. But this talks to the majority of young people who are solid, good young people contributing to their communities and society.
Exactly, Greg. You're quite right there, because in my role with the Gardaí Síochána, I work with young people on a full-time basis, and I see the excellent work and the excellent young people that we have out there in our community. We're very quick to highlight when young people are doing something wrong, and that's needed. But there's an awful lot of great working on by our young people in our community, and these awards highlight that, you know. So it's just to let you know about it. It's to celebrate the outstanding work of young people between the age of 13 and 21 years throughout the county. And today we're launching the awards the 6th of February, and the awards are open now for nominations. Again, celebrates young people between the age of 13 and 21 years. And in conjunction with Donegal Joint Policing Committee, we recognise that there's a lot of good work being done out there make their communities a better place to live.
Yeah, and the point I was trying to make a little earlier on as well, all nominees receive recognition.
Exactly.
So that even just nominating someone, they will know that they were nominated. I give a person a nice lift, that I think.
It certainly does. It certainly does. It's fantastic for those young people who are nominated. And of course, we go on to who can nominate them. That can be you, me, any person. Parents, siblings, neighbours, teachers, local Gardaí, sports coaches, whoever you may be. If you know people, young people between the ages of 13 and 21 in your community who are doing good things, please nominate them.
Yeah. So Gardaí will be distributing nomination forms to schools, youth groups and voluntary organisations right across Donegal today. So if anyone misses out on that process or doesn't see a form or what have you, is there other ways that you can nominate?
Yeah, you can nominate. Well, the form process is the way of nominating, but if you haven't got access to that form or don't know, come to your local Garda station, speak to any Garda, come to myself and we will help you out and we'll get the nomination forms to you.
But they're being broadly distributed.
They are being broadly distributed, yeah, yes, okay. Yes.
Right, so it's launched today, February 6th. Very exciting. Just a month, actually, to get your nominations
Yes. The deadline for nominations is 12 p.m. on Thursday, the 7th of March, 2024. There's four separate award categories for young people. There's the individual award. That is making a positive contribution to their community and making it a better place to live. We then have the group award. That is an award for two or more young people making a positive contribution to their community and making it a better place to live. Then the third award is the Special Achievement Award, and that is for young people who overcome difficult circumstances, defied all the odds, and whose commitment deserves recognition. And then our fourth award is the Community Safety Award, and that is for young people through a crime prevention or safety initiative or innovation. They have made their community a safer place to live.
Yeah, and indeed, I think transition year teachers and all will have a role in this as well. You're right, these things falling off. You know, lots of them spring to mind. The two young lads, I think it was two young lads that were going around during lockdown checking fire alarms and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly,
brilliant stuff that you can't, that definitely is going to have a positive impact. But it's hard to measure it, but it's a fantastic idea.
Exactly. Then they won a national award in 2022. Yeah. Yes.
That was a brilliant one. Loads of examples. I'm not singling them out, it just goes to show.
Of course. And we've had some great winners throughout the years. And people especially who put their own life in danger. There's some people who have gone into rivers and whatnot and have saved people and who have assisted people who needed defibrillators and whatnot. So young people have been excellent in what they do.
Yeah, fantastic. The judges are Judge Etain Cunningham, Inspector Paul McGee, Councillor Jerry McMonagall.
Exactly. That's our three judges for this year for the 2024 awards.
Okay. Nomination forms, once you get them, can be emailed to Donegal Garda Youth Awards at garda.ie or be posted to Letterkenny Garda Station, Noonline Road, Letterkenny, and marked for the attention of Grania, Garda Grania Doherty, who I have a feeling might be mentioning this once or twice throughout the month.
Yes, yes, she should be, yep.
We'll have just got rid of the Garda recruitment campaign. And it's
on to this one now.
But listen, it's important information. And as I say, it really is. I do love these awards genuinely because it recognises the majority of young people who are great, and even those that we need to help a little bit, you know, they need their assistance and help through life as well. Okay, anything you want to add, Patrick?
Or no, just for everyone out there, throughout the county. If you know of a young person between 13 and 21 in your community who deserves recognition for what they're doing, please get in touch with us. Get the nomination form filled in, because if we don't know about them, they can't be included in this.
And everyone who's nominated is recognised. So whatever about me just scraping into Garda recruitment, I'm well past the deadline for the Garda Youth Awards. But anyway, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much.
Patrick McGlynn, great to have you in. And we'll chat again, actually. Anytime you want to talk about your work, we'd love to have you in if it's helpful to you in the work that you do. And also Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh, a regular guest who will be on with us in the not-too-distant future, don't you know. That was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 6th of February. It'll be available for you to watch and listen back on our Facebook and the Garda Sí Chána Facebook page a little later on, and it's back live on the show after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. Right, and speaking of motors, I just want to make mention an event that's coming up on May 5th. So it's a little time away, but still well worth planning for. It is the May 5th at 11 a.m. It's at Snugborough, Bonagie, Letterkenny, and it is the 074 event. And it's cars, food, and coffee. The event's a way of getting like-minded car enthusiasts together for a coffee while raising money for the Micro Action Group so they can continue to support all homeowners impacted by the defective concrete crisis. All proceeds going to MAG. And it is, as I say, a wee bit out, May 5th at 11 a.m. at Snugborough, Bonagie, Letterkenny. Cars, food, and coffee. Right. Hi Greg, does Councillor Crossan think he is worth his wages? Does he think he's doing a good job? Well, I would say so, and I think most people would agree. Councillors do work very, very hard. A lot of it's not in the public eye necessarily, or on radio or in newspapers. They do far more than just the meetings every month. So I would say he probably does. I'm sure he does. The real power is with the executive. The local councillors have very little power in relation to granting funds. They depend on the goodwill of the local road engineers to allocate money to roads in the LAS scheme, and are not really needed in this day and age. The men at the top table, the executives, make the real decision. That's what that caller believes. Okay. Donegal Senator Niall Blaney yesterday missed out on a chance to contest the European elections. Last night, Laois Offaly TD Barry Cowan was selected as Fianna Fáil's Midlands Northwest candidate for the upcoming election. Senators Niall Blaney and Lisa Chambers had been nominated for selection along with Pat the Cope Gallagher, but as you would know listening to this programme, on the close of nominations, Pat the Cope Gallagher had withdrawn. Senator Blaney joins us on the programme now. I suppose commiserations, Senator. A lot of effort goes into these types of campaigns. You have to put your name forward, your head above the parapet, but you didn't come out on top in the end.
No, we missed it very narrowly, Greg. Can I just, from the outset, thank all those in Donegal and the North West generally that turned out to vote yesterday with a fantastic turnout of members right across Donegal. And we had a booth in Sligo that had by far the largest percentage turnout. I want to thank my team for all they've done, Greg. But, as you know, there's no guarantees with elections. I've been on the road for 10 months, Greg, right across the middle of the Northwest, at party meetings and council conventions, and I've put in a very good campaign. And to go that close, yeah, it's difficult. But also proud of the vote I got, because it was quite a significant vote. It's quite a good vote when you're up against someone like Brian Cowan's brother. It was quite a good vote, and Barry won out in the day, but party will be now looking at adding a second candidate, and I'd be pushing very strongly now to be that second nominee, the second candidate to contest this election. Greg.
Do you think that you're showing?
Do
you think you're showing? You're showing in this election process puts you, or should put you, in a strong position to receive that nomination from HQ.
Yeah, well, there was four booths yesterday. I won the one in Sligo by a long margin. I won the one in Navan by a shorter margin. And I got a good vote down the west as well. So it does show that the spread of the name and the spread of the message, I suppose, that I gave to members was actually connecting with them. And it does put me in a very good poll position. In relation to that, and the party executive will sit around and decide that. But as I say, that battle now started this morning,
it's not just the individual either. I presume when a second candidate is being selected, you know, you have to look at the geography and the numbers as well. It's not simply about personality, or even though you did very well in this process, there's more to it than simply that. I'd imagine now.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's about connecting with the electorate, Greg. And I suppose what this is an indication of, first and foremost, I didn't have the national exposure that the other two candidates did have. Yet, no, I was just within a very, very short distance of Barry Cowan. So that's going to make people sit up and wonder, my God, how this man connects so well across the Midlands Northwest with the organisation. Was this policies or what was it? And I think if they do look at it, they will realise that I sold a very good message. I had a very good team with me in the last number of weeks, helped me to sell that message. Mm. And it's that ability to connect with the electorate, albeit within the party for this part. But I think I demonstrated a very good work ethic and connection with the people I met. And That can't be ignored.
Do you, not wishing to be negative, but just to get the question out of the way, in this process, did you feel it fair, level playing field? Did you get a fair crack of the whip, all things considered?
I did get a fair crack of the whip, all things considered. What was better this time wasn't one centre, it was four. Mm-hmm. It still wasn't ideal, but it was the same for everybody. I did get a fair crack of the whip.
That's all you want in a process, isn't it, really?
Absolutely. And now, again, I hope to get a fair crack of the whip in this process as well.
And how is that determined? Do you get an opportunity to make your case?
I will get an opportunity to make my case, yeah.
Okay.
I will get an opportunity to make my case. And it's the constituency committee that's selected from the party that decides in all elections. When it comes to add-ons, it's what parties do.
Right.
The final decision is theirs. So I go there and we'll make our pitch. Myself and Charlie McConnell will probably come with me. And maybe some of my backroom team as well will make that pitch, and we'll see how we go.
All right. And we'll when do we expect that announcement to be made? Or has that been set yet? I know it's very soon.
There's no definitive date, I'd imagine probably within the next 10 days.
All right, interesting. Listen, thank you very much. Good luck with that process. Senator Niall Blaney there of the Fianna Fáil Party. Back to road safety at Duncan Ely School. An island in the middle of the road and traffic lights on the Killybeg side and Donegal Town side would be a good solution. When I travel to Dublin, I always see islands in the middle of the road. Speed ramps would be effective too. Cars need to slow down. There's a lot of heavy traffic travels that route. I'm not really sure the road's wide enough to accommodate an island, and I'm not poo-pooing on your suggestion, but I'm actually not really quite sure if the road is wide enough to accommodate an island, and there is already traffic lights there, but I presume you're suggesting that in conjunction with the island there. But I'm not really quite sure if it could accommodate that. But they've been used, you narrow roads, and drivers don't like it. Often the drivers of big vehicles don't like it, but it is seen as a key factor in slowing traffic. Duncan Ely Crossing, add barriers like there are at a rail level crossing. That'll stop the traffic or provide a rude awakening to the driver. Indeed, it's a suggestion, but that's not going to happen. But hey, it would ensure their safety, you would hope. Absolute disaster for Donegal that Senator Blaney wasn't selected for Fianna Fáil Euro seat. As an outspoken supporter of the MICA scheme, we needed him at the highest table. Okay, right, I sort of perhaps missed the tone of that before I read it out loud. But that, listen, we're a democracy here, and that's your view. 086 60 25,000. Keep them coming in to us. Right, okay. We're going to be returning to access to Ongrinia of Alia. It's controversial, of course. There is a petition that has been signed for the attention of the Office of Public Works, the OPW, an organisation that's very hard to get to talk to get any information from. We're going to hear about that after these. Now, Betna Link, Linka joins us on the programme now. Betna, thank you very much for joining us. Bettina, I beg your pardon. Sorry, Bettina. I know your name, and then I remembered it as I was reading it. Bettina, you are behind a petition calling on the Office of Public Works to restore open access to Greena on Greenan of Alia. And quite a big uptake so far, over 1,000 signatures, I understand.
Yes, it's good to see, Craig, that the community is behind this petition to see if we get access back. We had about 6 months ago. It's often forgotten now that until last September, we had open access. There was no gate locked at the Greenan itself, and people were able to come there morning, noon, and midnight. And this is now prevented. And there was something you said the last time we spoke, which pointed out that it comes with some really bad fallbacks for some people. You mentioned mental health, and I personally know people who go there in the morning with mental health problems. They go there before school, before work, and they come now every time they go and find the monument itself locked and access denied. They can't get in. So that must have quite some effect on them when they go there now to basically find some relief from their anxieties.
Is a bit of an elephant in the room here that is not discussed? Because I was of the view, Batna, that this was as original as one might expect, but it's been it has been refurbished a couple of times, and you know more than me, correct me if I'm wrong. Someone did suggest to me that it does require a further refurbishment, and that some of the walls are bulging, and you know, there is a danger of collapse. Is it possible that one of the reasons access is being restricted is because it needs work? And the real question is when's that work going to happen, and how's it going to be funded? Or maybe I'm wrong, but what's your view?
Well, the OPW has already a history of collapses with the Greenan and work they carried out on the Greenan, particularly between 2000 and 2008. The monument was refurbished because the walls kept collapsing, and they were reinforced with metal beams and concrete. So if the OPW would be certain that the work they carried out not that long ago was of good quality, then they shouldn't be worried right now that the monument might collapse again.
Has the OPW ever reached out to you or anyone or the local authority, you know, offering the management of this with any conditions or criteria? Has that ever happened?
No, but interestingly, Craig, I was yesterday sent a link to the council meeting from January 16th of this year. And therein might lie the answer. It says that there was a memorandum of understanding has been signed between the council, the OPW, Forza Ireland. You know, so there seems to be plans of managing the site already in place. It also says in the minutes that there are shared ambitions to significantly enhance the visitor experience of Greenan of Eilach through the successful execution of the various site management actions highlighted within the conservation managing plan for the cleaning of Eilach that's available online and also contained within the Enish own Peninsula Destination Experience Development Plan. Mm-hmm. The cleaning is not mentioned in the later document. This is also available online and the links are given in the documents of the last council meeting.
Okay. So just to be clear, and I'll ask you to tell us where this petition can be obtained if people want to sign it. What is it actually calling for, Bettina? What would satisfy, I say your demands, but I mean, I know you're on, you speak on behalf of a number of people, okay? So that's clear, just to be clear.
Yes.
But what precisely or approximately are you calling on the Office of Public Works to do or for in this petition?
Well, it's very clear, Craig. I want that is restored what we had 6 months ago. You know, as the cleaning had open access. I just want what we had. So it's nothing radical. Just please, let's go back to the situation we had 6 months ago last year when everyone could come at any time and visit the monument. The sun rises, the sun sets, the monument is now closed for all those times. And I just want that people can use the monument again as they had before.
Okay, where's the petition, Bettina?
Pardon?
Where is the petition?
Oh, the petition is on change.org, restore open access to Greenen of Eilach. Or if you just go to change.org and type in Greenen of Eilach, the petition will come up.
Okay, Bettina, listen, we continue our efforts to get a spokesperson for the office from the Office of Public Works. Lots of questions. One interview, I think, would settle an awful lot of this so we know the problems, the intentions, the stumblers, you know what I mean? And then we can pursue it beyond that as well. So hopefully we get that interview secured. We're working very hard on it. That's only part of it, of course. It's what's happening on the ground that's critical.
Yeah, but perhaps, Craig, you could, the contact person within the council seems to be Fiona Doherty,
She's
the development officer.
Yes.
You know, she probably seems to have all the information concerning this memorandum of understanding and what is precisely perhaps planned for managing the cleaning. And this new visitor experience.
But often these processes are far more complex than a point of contact. But we have that information in any case, and I appreciate your time. Bettina Linka, who joined us there. Any views on that to 086 60 25,000? A caller says, do we need councillors? That's the question. We can all write and read and send emails, says the listener. The publican are now wide awake, says another, and are doing their own research on the broken promises from politicians. And the bottom line is they realise the version given to the public is not in line with what actually happens. The one thing I will say, all information is there. Most of the meetings can be accessed and there's minutes available of them, a list of motions, what was acted on and what wasn't acted on. I'd love to see a sort of a green, red, green, amber system for motions in a time frame whereby a motion is passed. You know, red means nothing's going to happen. Amber means it's going to be worked on. Green means that whatever that motion was has been fulfilled, if you know what I mean, and a time frame on them. I think that would help. Abuse. I'll have to reread that one beforehand. Nicholas, I've read that one as well. Nicholas will follow everything up. Indeed. Thank you for that. Good morning, Greg. We posted, I'll tell you, I want a wee bit of background on that one as well. I'm not fudging this, but this is in relation to a post we put on social media, and I just want access to the original social media post as well, just to put that comment into context. Abuse, bollocks, and they have to do is tell the truth. That's bollocks, I presume. I hope, is that a replacement for a swear word? Perhaps it is, which they don't. It's like RTE News last night about the protests in Dublin yesterday. They said a few hundred were out. Lies, talk about false news. There was thousands out. I saw some of the footage from that. I don't know. I tend not to try and guess. I'd say, what, 1,000, 2,000, 800, 700? It's very hard to tell. It really is very hard to tell because it was similar to where the defective concrete protest took place and the way the people filter in. So they filter in up along the quays and unless you walk down like I did at the time of that protest, you get a full sense of the line and how many people are in it. But anyway, I'm not sure how many were at it. Some will say loads, some will say few, and somewhere in between lies the truth. Okay, former Taoiseach John Bruton has passed away at the age of 76 following a long illness. This news was confirmed by his family. We're joined on the programme now by Deputy Joe McHugh. Thanks for your time, Deputy. I do appreciate it this morning. Unfortunately, under these circumstances, you would have known former Taoiseach Bruton personally and also would have worked. Would it the time frame been you would have been a councillor during his tenure?
Yeah, that's correct. And I suppose at the outset, Greg, I just want to pass on my sympathy to his wife, Fionnuala, and children, and also to his sister, Mary, and Richard, who's still in politics, and just thinking on the family this morning. And you're right in saying I got elected in 99 when John was leader. Didn't really, as a councillor, I didn't really get to know him at that stage. But then we were colleagues in the parliamentary party up to the by-election of the late Shane McEntee in 2003-2004. So that was the time I got to know him as a politician. But I got to know him, I think, at a personal level when he became EU ambassador and when he was based in Washington. And I think, as some of his colleagues pointed out this morning, John, he changed and evolved as a politician, but also there was the person, I suppose, that maybe people didn't get to know, and he was quite good company. But he was also, John was a gentleman behind it all, and he wanted to do things differently. And I suppose in his early career, at times you can get into difficulty as a politician. But he always had his heart in the right place, and he always felt about doing the right thing at all times.
And a long political career. He was first elected to the Dáil in 69, Taoiseach from 94 to 97, leader of Fine Gael from 1990 to 2001, and resigned his seat that he was re-elected to in 2004. So out of sort of elective politics, I know he was appointed a US ambassador to the United States, but out of elected politics far longer than I would have guessed. But I suppose that's more a testament to how quickly time passes than any reflection on Mr. Bruton, if you know what I mean.
It is, yeah. He got elected the same day as my father-in-law, Tom Enright, in 1969. So he went through those very, very difficult lean years, very difficult economic times in the 1980s. And then when he did get the opportunity to become Taoiseach in 1994 for quite a short period of time, the economy was starting to turn around at that time. But he had a long career. He had a short time as Taoiseach. He was at that event, and I got to see a different side of him. He was very, very affable, very, very keen to know what was happening at a local level, what was happening back in Ireland, and just he kept a very strong focus. And in fact, when he stepped down as leader, he still produced policy. He still wanted to have an input, and he made many contributions in the parliamentary party up to 2004.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, listen, thank you for that. I do appreciate your time in paying tribute to former Taoiseach John Bruton, who's died aged 76 following a long illness confirmed by his family. Deputy Joe McHugh, thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks, Greg.
Take care.